What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Not Without Merit podcast, episode 28, a very, very special episode. We were going to do a Last of Us 2 spoiler cast, and we're going to have some special guests this week. But first, joining us, as always, is Ben.
Hey, everybody. And we also have our two guest hosts this week. We have Ash and we have Jeremy.
Howdy.
Say welcome hello back to the fans, Jeremy.
Yeah, don't be shy. It's okay.
You have to talk.
Mm-hmm. That's the key part of this.
Oh. Am I not coming through? Am I good?
Ah, there he is.
Hey.
I don't know what is going on.
Yes, technology can be challenging. Believe me, over the years, we have fought with it many times here and have failed and lost. But yes, we're all here to talk about the, I guess, biggest, I don't know, if you want to say Final Fantasy VII's bigger, I don't know. But one of the biggest games of 2020, and definitely one of the most controversial, divisive, I don't know, pick your topic on whatever you think about this game. People are very opinionated about it. Believe me, go to any corner of the internet, you're going to find some very, very passionate people either one way or another about
and a lot of people who didn't play the game.
Yes, yes. A lot of people who very much locked into opinions based on leaks alone, even though a lot of those leaks turned out to be, well, let's see, lots of parts of those leaks turned out to be totally inaccurate. So, yeah.
Can we go over? I don't know if you guys know, do you know, like, the leaks that came out that were false?
Well, I guess
I didn't read any leaks.
Let's preface it now. Again, that this is a spoiler cast about The Last of Us 2. If you have not played the game, stop listening. Please come back next week. Thank you. Okay, now that the one thing I heard about the leak, I didn't read the leaks completely, but what I was told was that one part of the leak said that Tommy died. That obviously did not happen. But for the most part, the
they got bit by
yes. By the scene where you were led to believe that Tommy died.
And
I mean, we all
that.
Is that bullet still in his face, by the way?
Maybe it went through.
It was a magic bullet.
I just can't, because the scene where you see him again, his face is like the light is on it, and I can't tell if that's just his cheekbone or if the bullet's still in there.
He probably fractured his face.
I mean, given the world they're living in, it's probably not going to be a very clean surgery to fix him. So it makes sense, but yeah, that was definitely probably the biggest thing I saw as leaks go that was incorrect. They did paint a broad brush with a lot of the story, so there was definitely a lot of stuff going around. I don't know if it was just opinions based on footage or leaks that people were saying Abby was transgender, which obviously also was completely not true in any way, shape, or form. So that was probably the two biggest things I saw that were leaked and completely wrong.
Speaking That's of transgender, great. I thought that they did a phenomenal job of actually presenting that character and subtly referencing the what could be conceived as transgender talk. But like I said, when I was playing this with a friend of mine, if you're going to do transgender, have that character go big or go home. And the fact that Lev put his sister and his own life on the line to make that feeling known, that is what I consider going hard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just threw everything out the door. I thought that was...
That's the kind of person that I would change my pronouns for.
Yeah. That was awesome. So where are we at? What are we doing?
Well,
How do we want to tackle this?
Do we want to do a what we've been playing first, very briefly?
I think this is just going to be straight up Last of Us 2.
Let's do it then.
All right.
So when you guys when you guys got into the game, did either of you or any of you have the entire story spoiled for you when you wanted to avoid it?
No.
I knew nothing.
I hands on my ears and eyes, covered everything,
avoided
all
everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so when you got into the game, when did you realize that Joel was going to die?
When I was playing as Ellie. I kind of assumed that.
I would say when he was on the ground and his face was bloody, that's what they
might. Okay, so y'all didn't
they
think
might actually do this. I didn't even know if it was official at that point. You know, Abby didn't take that final swing yet.
Right. There's some doubt.
He wasn't coming back even after that final swing. But I was like, well, they could video game this up a little bit and make him, you know, plot plot armor and bring him back, but maybe I did not know.
There's a steel plate in his head that we did not know about.
You know, she takes that final swing and Ellie screams, and that was it. Wow, they actually killed Joel. Okay.
I mean, for me, I felt that just the fact that they were bringing both of them back as the story, I'm like, okay, there's no way both of them are going to make it to the end. So I had a feeling that either Ellie or Joel was going to be dead by the end of the game, but I was not expecting it that fucking soon. That's for damn sure.
Okay.
Yeah, to open the game with it was a little surprising.
I just think the fact that it's only Ellie on the cover, I was ready for it, honestly.
Really? Well,
yeah.
See, they weren't even going to have Joel in the game.
Well, for me, I thought that meant it was going to be more of like all right, you're switching, and now, like, you're playing the lead as Ellie, and Joel's still with you, you know, partnered up for most of the game, but you're playing 90% of the game as Ellie rather than, like, the first game where we only played for Ellie as that one little tiny part. I thought they were just basically going to swap the roles around, and you'd be, like, the leader, quote-unquote.
Well, Neil Druckmann did say in an interview very early on that The Last of Us 1 was a story of companionship, and The Last of Us 2 is a story of revenge. So that, I mean, those two things, Ellie being on the cover and that quote, led me to believe that we were going to see Joel die.
Yeah, that's,
now,
that's
a lot of people said that we were going to be going after the people who we thought would kill Dina, because
right.
that was going to be the revenge. But I was like, that's not enough catalyst for a revenge arc.
You're probably right. Looking at it now, if it was a story about taking revenge on somebody who killed Dina, I don't know if any of us would have had a connection with Dina that we would have cared as much. So it almost had to be Joel, looking back on it.
Right.
But even watching those trailers early on, I mean, they did the character swaps and pulled...
That was pretty cool.
That was clever. Where they put Jesse in?
Yeah, they put
Joel
Jesse
instead of Jesse.
Yeah, you watched that trailer a year ago or whatever it was, and you saw Joel, and when you actually play the game, it's Jesse, and it's sort of... Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people say that's false advertising, but I like that. Keep me guessing, because I'm sort of naive and gullible, and we'll just buy whatever you're selling.
I mean, in hell, even so,
give it to me.
The first, like, reveal teasers where Ellie's, like, sitting in that room, like, playing the guitar, that scene more or less, like, never even happened. Like, she plays that song one point in the game, but, like, everything around that was just completely fabricated just for that trailer.
Right, and you don't see Joel in that trailer, you just hear his voice.
Which I think started the whole rumors of, like, oh, man, is Joel dead? And that's just, like, kind of like her talking to her conscience or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that was my whole thought process going in, was that Joel was just going to be a voice in her head. And she would see him, like, passing down life lessons. But it was just going to be her memories of him.
Or just a bunch of flashbacks. And, yeah. Which, yeah. I mean, they did anyways.
We did get that.
But that being said, I do think that one of the best things about this game is how hard the flashbacks hit you.
Because absolutely.
You've got the flashback with them going looking for guitar strings. That scene when they find the two that left the settlement, and then Ellie uses that to segue into asking Joel about what's going on, or to finally admit to her, that is a very, very well-directed, well-acted, hard-hitting scene with just the right amount of dialogue. And I don't think that any of the scenes would have hit as hard as they did if the animations of the characters were just so lifelike as they were. You've got every little eye squint, you've got every little kind of grimace that could possibly convey emotion in those scenes, and they do it so well.
You don't really get that creepy effect from a lot of it either when you're watching them. It's so lifelike and so real, and you're just watching, you're just like, these characters might as well be here in front of me, because
the key has always been the eyes and the teeth. That's what makes it look not creepy. If you get the eyes and the teeth right, almost nothing else is even matters on the face. All you need to get is the eyes and the teeth, and they nailed it.
Yep. Also, the dogs. The animation on the dogs, too.
You know what? My first thing I'm going to talk negative about this game. The fact you have to kill dogs, extremely fucked up, and I was not having it.
They already said that you didn't have to.
Please, tell me how in those combat sequences you could get around without killing. I mean, maybe it's possible, but shit, that would be incredibly difficult.
Because once you kill the handler, the dog starts looking for you.
Yeah. So unless you can, that's basically, I never went through a sequence without killing everybody. So I don't know if some of those are like quote unquote locked until you kill everybody, or if you could just, you know, sneakily stealth your way without killing anybody. But
actually,
maybe,
I don't know. I killed everybody.
Exactly.
I have the patience to try and sneak through a whole area.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, I'm going to have to go back and try that, because there are several places to where, if that's possible, that would just be a lot easier.
I mean, the combat zones, if you want to call them that, were like infinitely expanded compared to like the first game. And hell, like, it was basically like, for a lot of them, were like Uncharted 4. I mean, you can see they took a lot of influence from designs in Uncharted 4, where a lot of the combat zones were way wider than like I would ever even like fathom or use, because basically my combat sequences would always kind of devolve into, I made a murder corner that I would bait everyone into coming to, and I would kill them, and then I would just have a pile of bodies, and then someone would see the pile and be like, ooh, what's that? And then I would kill them, and then like 6 or 7 bodies later, I would run like 5 minutes and go, oh shit, like look at all this area that I could have been running and gunning and chasing. It's like, oh, I didn't even need
all this room for activities.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Mike. Like, after you've murdered 8,000 people, you realize just how big of an area, how many like nooks and crannies and hidey holes and crawl through the wall type areas. It's like, yeah, I could have gotten through here without being seen. And
most of my combats devolved, like everything went south when I would miss a shot. That was silenced, or it was a bow shot, and they would. I've another thing about this game is that the enemy's acute awareness of like where something came from, especially on the higher difficulties, is absurdly good.
Yes. Oh, I mean, even on like moderate, like there, because I played it that with the, that's the default, and there were so many times where like you say, I'd miss a bow shot from someone like 50 yards away, and they'd like turn around, head on a swivel, and be like, oh, whistle, loud whistle, they're right there. And I'm just like, what the, like, really? Like, there's not even like a little cone of time where you're gonna like fake like you see me and I have time to get away. It's like, nope, yeah, there it came from right there, let's get them. That was very frustrating.
It was very, after playing Far Cry 3 this week, I was very used to that AI.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly the same thing in
that game. I, as someone who also played Far Cry 3 this week, yes, very similar. You miss one shot, and everyone knows where you are. Another thing very happy to have in this game that I abused a lot was the restart encounter option.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Abused the shit out of that. Especially
got
on the,
a lot of use.
Especially on the Katamari boss.
That
thing. Oh. Yeah. Get me started.
Yeah. That was such a great fight. I love that.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't like it at all.
That was such an absurd spike in difficulty for no reason.
Like, out of nowhere.
How many times do you fucking have to stab somebody for them to actually die? Because apparently it's like 50. I don't know what that guy was on.
Adrenaline, man.
Apparently a lot of it. Because it got to the point where I was like laughing at the stream. Like, okay, come on, guys. Like, this is like, I get you want to make him like a very powerful being, but like at some point, like, we're going to make this game quote real. Let's reel it in on how many times you got to fucking cut that dude before he actually goes down.
Oh, I'm talking about the fucking ball of snot in the basement of the hospital.
Oh, that thing too.
Ground Zero.
They call him the Rat King or something like that.
Yeah, you might as well. So that fight was basically the same thing, but that one was just more of a, I saw what the game was trying to do, because I was running around and being like, well, I'm full of this, I can't pull this. Like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to dump all my bullets into this thing, because you're giving me enough to recoup. So I just, every gun just emptied, next, emptied, next.
That's
emptied,
how I did it.
Next. And that thing went down fairly easy, because that whole area was just like a free refill on everything.
When the clicker separated from that, that's when I got irritated, because that thing can quickly bridge the gap between you
and he can
slither through the hidey holes to get to you.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of like, I would like have to kite him somewhat, and then make sure the other boss was far enough away, and then I have to like weasel in between them, because like if the big guy grabs me, I'm dead. That I would say out of the, I guess, what, there's that guy, and then the on the island. I guess the two real. Are there any other like you would consider boss fights in the game?
Those except are kind of for Abby at the end. No.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
There's like some horde mode type areas. Definitely that some were of that challenging.
Dealing with the fucking Tommy as the sniper. That's
That was annoying.
Fucking frustrating.
That was Metal Gear shit right there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Tommy, almost a little bit of catharsis when you kicked him over the edge.
Yeah, I kind of felt pretty good about that. I'm like, yeah, Tommy's a little too accurate with that fucking sniper because there were so many times, or just having your. That was probably the only time where I felt the AI companion really kind of like fell on his ass because I'm like, come on, dude, like give me. You're not giving me any opportunities to move. As soon as I peek my shoulder out, oh, fucking Tommy's already shooting at me. So help me out. But overall, I would say going on the AI, as we're just kind of bouncing from topic to topic here, AI teammates, pretty damn impressive. I was very pleased watching them actually kill people. Like, yeah. And not just be your traditional AI bullshit of where we'll put a couple bullets into everybody, but we won't actually kill anything.
Not only that, but when they tell you, like, to your left.
Yeah. They give you call outs, like they'll like, you know, if you're stealthy, like they won't like just break stealth to be an asshole. Like they're staying stealthy with you. So that was like that was much appreciated.
Where they would run out across the open area when you're sneaking and they would be invisible. I think they were designed to be invisible to the enemy because they were stupid in the first game.
Yeah.
I didn't have any
assumed they were invisible too.
Yeah. They would just run out. In this one, I didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, that was.
And we stayed back and hidden with me.
Unlike Dog Meat, who could walk over a tripwire and blow you up in Fallout.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. AI in general, I'd say in this game was very, very good. Even like on, like it said with the enemies, like frustratingly good because they were very smart and tactical, like almost to a fault. I never really got to like the point where I was going to put the difficulty down, but it was challenging. I will say even playing on the normal difficulty was, I'd say, a really good balance of difficulty and not really having to constantly worry about running out of stuff. Like I would say there were maybe two or three times throughout the entire game where I was like on the frantic, oh shit, I have like five bullets. I need to make them count. Like it was a pretty steady balance of, okay, switching guns around and everything and being able to still be, like, viable in combat was nice. I will say, I guess we can talk about, like, yeah, just the combat in general. I thought it was fine. I mean, you know, it's a Naughty Dog game. They kind of have a formula for their gameplay, and they don't tend to break from it. It seems too often. This was obviously has a bigger stealth element than your Uncharted's, and I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I wish you could have carried more than like one brick or bottle at a time. That would have been nice as like a distraction tool. Again, especially after playing Far Cry, where you have unlimited rocks. To throw. having a couple other things to
pit of rocks.
Yeah, to chuck and would have been nice, but like it's weird to say with this game. I feel like there were too many guns. Like I felt like I was just like forgetting about guns I had just because there were so many to go around. There was not really a need to like constantly be switching between the guns. I don't know if anyone else kind of felt that way too, but I kind of stayed with just like, all right, shotgun and like revolver and, you know, bow, but I wasn't really using like the long rifle and things of that nature because I mean the biggest thing of all is like a long rifle, sniper rifle, doesn't really work really well unless there's a silencer on it, because as soon as you shoot one person, this bolt action rifle doesn't really help in a quick combat sequence.
Now, the only time I had luck with the long rifle where I wasn't worried about getting rushed on was the, when you're on the river, and you come up to the, I guess, the little land base, and there's a subway car, some kind of train-ish thing going up into the air, and it's overlooking a encampment, and I just basically laid on the ground and just sniped. And because there was water in between us, they were just looking around like ding-dongs getting plucked off by me from a mile away.
I use the long rifle a ton on the island, especially on the island.
I think I used it a lot in general. I loved that thing.
Really?
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. I was all bow, and I think, like, I don't know, I didn't see a lot of people talking about it. Hunting pistol. Hunting pistol was,
oh, that thing was awesome.
Fucking shit. That thing one shot just about anybody.
Yep. And you, you could make ammo for it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, late game, it was basically, I would just, like, snap. It was, like, snap target aim, fucking hunting pistol. Just, like, mowing down entire groups of people. And for some reason, they threw, like, a silenced SMG right at the end of the game. I still don't know where, why. That was weird.
That thing, it munched on ammo, too, which I just kept using the pistol.
If it wasn't, like, a headshot, like, a one-shot headshot, it was...
I mean, even if you, like just barely tapped the trigger, you spent at least 2 or 3 bullets.
Yeah, did not like it at all.
Not to mention that Ellie's just goes, just her arms just lose all control of the weapon.
Yeah,
and you know, you spray and pray, basically.
Yeah, and there were no upgrade. You couldn't even, like, upgrade it or anything. So, yeah, that was a weird one to throw in, like, so close to the end of the game. But the bombs and traps, though, oh, man, those things are just fodder for kills. I cleaned up way too damn much, specifically on the traps. Man, if you weren't abusing traps throughout that game, sorry, like, you made the game way harder on yourself.
Especially at the end when you could let the clickers go.
Yes. Like, yeah, traps. You want to talk about, like, leading enemies into shit? Because here's, like, how a lot of sequences can go. You lay a trap, you lead one enemy to it, boom. Another person hears the boom, you lay another trap, boom. Rinse, repeat, until every idiot walks over to hear the boom and gets boomed themselves.
Are you winning, son?
Yeah, basically. But yeah, like you said, that the clicker thing, that I'm sad that only was, like, twice throughout the entire game where they had trapped clickers that you could free and, yep, like, have them wreak havoc. That I wish that would have been more of a thing in the game.
When Ellie was in,
a really cool idea.
Yeah, when Ellie drops in the basement chasing Nora, like, I didn't have to fire a single bullet. All I did was throw a bottle, have the clickers rush into the room, and they took care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
again,
the flashing red lights where they're running through and they take everybody out. I think that.
Yep.
I think,
I like that too. Open. You got to hold down, trying to get a door open.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. I threw, you throw shit in between them, and it's like, all right, you all have fun fighting. I think I had to kill, like, one dude at the end. But
I cleared the whole room just because the bloodlust.
But again, another, like, Far Cry tactic of, like, you go to the camp and, like, oh, here's a bear locked up. Let me shoot the cage and let the bear wreak havoc. Like,
yep.
I wish that's something that would have happened more in the game, but it was still cool when it happened.
I think if I played Far Cry before Last of Us, I would have gotten through Last of Us a lot quicker.
Yeah, a lot of that sneaky tactics. I mean, now that like we're talking about it more and more, I'm like, wow, you can really draw a lot of lines between those two games specifically. It's kind of weird. I never thought about comparing those two, but at least in the combat and the gameplay, there's definitely a whole lot of similarity between the two.
All right, so let's talk about the muscular elephant in the room. Okay, so when y'all first started playing, did you know that you were going to control Abby?
No.
Okay, and once that started happening, what was your reaction?
I immediately knew that I was going to hate Ellie by the end of it.
I immediately knew that's why this took people upwards of 20 to 30 hours to complete.
Yeah.
That was that's all, like, soon as I took control of her and we went back in time 2 days, I'm like,
yeah, once it went Seattle day one as Abby, I'm like, oh fuck.
I thought we were going to get, like, a truncated quick version of the 3 days as Abby, but I did not expect to have another 15 to 20 hours of that.
Yeah.
I can't say I minded it as much, maybe towards the end I did, but when I first started playing as Abby, I didn't want to because I did not like her. It was sort of a reaction, like, when you start playing as Raiden in Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
why
yeah.
am
they
I playing
Metal Gear 2 the fuck out of it?
This blonde, you know, prissy boy, and it's just but towards the end, I liked her a lot. So, I mean, whatever they did worked.
Right. I think that they did a good job of making you care about her, even though you absolutely didn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the biggest problems I had with that were first being that they it was the cliffhanger to end all cliffhangers to make you wait another like 10 plus hours to get to the payoff to that scene. And then the biggest problems I think I had were more of a technical thing, is the fact that you were already so deep into that game and deep into Ellie's skill tree to fucking hit the reset button to go to Abby, who like is this big, you know, fucking buff ass chick, but like her skill tree is dog shit, so she's weak. And for some reason to spec into like these melee abilities where a game that you really shouldn't be doing close combat like ever felt really weird.
Especially not like the momentum part, the momentum ability.
I thought that was dumb. And the fact that you had to make shivs with her, I'm like, oh, I did not want to relive that.
Abby does not know how to use switchblades, really.
Like, really? Oh. Like, she, of all people, don't carry a knife? Like, So
carrying a Crocodile Dundee knife.
Yeah, I thought she'd have, like, a machete or something and be like, okay, you could, like, charge up your melee and you can, like, one-hit zombies or something like that. But, so yeah, that the mechanics of her were probably the issues I had more than, like, the actual story or anything of that nature, but...
You level her up pretty quick, though, because they were very liberal with pills and parts when you played as Abby. Like, you're finding them everywhere.
I feel like that was probably, like, a compromise as to, okay, we're gonna reset all your skills, but, we'll at least get you, for the most part, caught up.
Also, her long rifle, the fact that you had mags instead of a bolt action on that thing was insane.
Oh, her gun is sweet.
Her kit was good. That definitely made up for feeling weak at the beginning. But yeah, as far as playing Abby, I didn't mind it. I feel like that was the part of the game where I was just like, okay, let's get this going. Like all these flashbacks. It's like it felt like I was playing the game on repeat at some point. It was just like, okay, it's almost like you're just palette swapped Ellie for Abby, and I'm just like going through the same motions again. Like, I understand you want to craft a narrative, but that's like, I already got it with her. Like the second or third time you have the nightmare as your dad, it was like, okay, I don't need to keep reliving this. And we get it. The guy you have a crush on is like a shit dude. Like he sucks. Like, I didn't feel bad when he died. And for the most part, most of your friends, more or less, but I definitely didn't feel like I connected with most of that crew outside of Abby. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but that's
kind of... I connected to Manny a little bit, but Owen and Mel, no.
Yeah. Manny was cool, and I did not really care about anyone in Abby's storyline other than Abby until we met Lev and Yara at the end.
Definitely those two.
I love the two of them, but everybody else before that... don't care.
Yeah.
I guess the thing for that, though, is you have to understand that Abby connected with them. You don't have to connect with them, but you have to understand that Abby did, and that's
it was her group of friends. I mean, I understand she's going to have a core people, but it was like, you don't form those emotional bonds like you did with a lot of, a lot of Ellie's, you know, friends, like Dina. I mean, at some point, I guess, you don't want to, like, make a carbon copy of, like, okay, Abby has a person she cares about a lot, just like Ellie does, and she has a father figure just like Ellie does. Like, yeah, you definitely want to get some differentiation between the two characters so you're not just, like, literally going through the motions as a different character, but...
It's kind of surprising that how well they crafted the connection... and therefore the player's connection between Abby and Lev and Yara, and then didn't succeed in doing that with Owen and Mel. So I'm wondering if that was maybe the intention or if it was an oversight.
I guess I could see it being the intention, especially for how much you focus on Lev and Yara. Like, once they get into the picture, like, basically everyone else in her life takes a back seat, you know, with whoever's still alive by that point. But yeah, they become the focus for the rest of the game. So at least as long as you're playing as Abby. So I guess that maybe that is, you know, maybe you're right on that point. It's like they wanted to tamper down your feelings on everyone else in her life because these two characters are going to play the biggest role in her life other than, you know, meeting with, obviously having her meeting with Ellie.
And those characters turned the tide for Abby's character. Mm-hmm. Because she opened up a little more, and you can see her kind of letting go of the whole revenge aspect of everything, but you weren't getting that with Ellie.
Yeah, I mean, the scene immediately after you get back from getting supplies for Yara's amputation, the fact that she is so, not caught up, but concerned about her brother, and that's just when Mel laid into Abby, even though Mel, you know, your baby's going to be retarded. But, I mean, you go and you see Yara come up to Abby, and even though she has just lost her arm, she is more concerned with comforting Abby and finding her brother than she is with her arm.
Yeah, that whole scene was very, like, jarring when Mel just, like, lays into Abby, like, unprovoked out of nowhere. It's like, okay, like, I get it if you're playing up the whole, like, obviously you feel there's some jealousy there. No shit. Obviously, those two were an item in the past, but it really just, like...
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Like,
I was
like,
bitch, you were there too when I was beating this dude to death at the golf club.
Yeah, that too. It's like, that was the other thing too. It's like, I didn't really understand why a lot of people in her life didn't understand why she was so pissed. It's like, all right, this dude killed my dad. Don't you understand why I'm so fucking pissed off about that? It felt like everyone else was just like, that was kind of fucked up. It's like, really? Like,
yeah.
Really?
And Abby knew that because of what Joel did with Ellie and took her from the hospital, they don't have a vaccine.
Right. Which I don't. Did she share that with other people?
I can't imagine that she wouldn't. It's never deliberately shown, but I can't imagine that she wouldn't.
See, I feel like that also would have been like the motivation of like, oh yeah, fuck that dude. Like, I totally get why you'd want to murder him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another reason why her group of her friend circle kind of sucks.
Kind of felt like she was supposed to be the voice of the player in the way, like, we weren't entirely on board with Abby,
like,
so they were making Mel stand there being like, yeah, she was just what you did was wrong and everything you did was wrong and we shouldn't have done that, which we were supposed to just agree with. But I think at that point a lot of us were sort of already leaning towards Abby. We could kind of see where she was coming from, that what Mel was saying just did not work. It was like, what are you rambling on about?
Yeah I mean, by that point, it's like, I really understood. I mean, I wasn't at that point in the game about to take a side one way or another, but I understood that Joel really was left with, like, this impossible decision. It was, I either let Ellie die, who is basically, like, letting my daughter die all over again and having the one person in my life care about die, and that allows potentially to create a vaccine to save the world, or... I killed all these people, and now I have to live the rest of my life knowing the fact that I ruined the only chance at a vaccine. So it was a no-win scenario for Joel.
And the fact that I think a lot what I have gone over and over in my head is that one of the motivations for Joel to do what he did is that Ellie didn't have a choice.
That part I think was not laid up on enough in the game, because I totally agree with you on that. The fact that it was like – I think it was one of the flashbacks when they were talking with Joel and the doctor and everything, or maybe I don't even know if Joel's like, it was one of the flashbacks. It was like, yeah, it's really fucked up. They're like, they're not even going to ask this little girl. Like, they're just going to fucking do it. Like, yeah, that's really fucked up.
And the fact that Marlene was shown saying, well, he has to know. Joel has to know.
Yeah, that... I mean,
so that was my biggest hang up on when people say, you know, well, Joel had no right to do what he did. Joel had every right to do what he did.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's the right decision.
No, I mean, obviously the right decision was to let her die for, I mean, the future of humanity. But it doesn't mean, yeah, he's making the decision with his heart, not with his mind.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought it was an interesting angle when they have Marlene speaking with Abby's father. I can't remember his name, but he's basically on board for killing Ellie to get the cure. And then she sort of turns around like, what if it was your own daughter? And at that point, I think Abby's walking into the room.
Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting way to frame it because, I mean, that's basically putting him in the same situation Joel was in. And, you know, he's sort of on the other end, but yeah.
And that's when Abby says, if it were me, I would want you to do it. And I was like, but you had a choice.
You are given the option. You're not brought into the hospital under this weird guise of, we're just going to take some tests.
Yeah, and put then under anesthesia, all, thrown on an operating table, right. And then a couple hours later, everybody's dead.
Right, and then, literally as she's about to go under the knife, they're like, oh, by the way, Joel, she has to die. And he's like, wait, what? Like, so it... messy. It's very messy, and I think that theme carries through a lot of the game in general.
I agree. And then the fact that with the I think it's the very last voiced scene in the game when Joel and Ellie are on his porch post Seth being a bigot, and Ellie saying, "I should have died in that hospital. My life would have fucking mattered." Joel doesn't even begin to argue with her.
Because he knows.
He just kind of, he takes the beating, for lack of a better term. And to speak farther into the how the game unfolds at that point, that scene, in my opinion, completely gives explanation to why Ellie let Abby live. Because Joel says to her, "I don't know what her intentions are, but she would be lucky to have you." When talking about Dina, Ellie thinks back to that and is what I would view it as, that if she were to kill Abby, that would be a disservice to Joel's memory.
Even at the end, you sort of, I think she, when you're beating on Abby and you're choking her underwater, you see the scene where Joel just sort of raises his head up with the guitar in his lap.
A quick little
callback to that moment where and she realizes this is pointless, this isn't going to do anything.
Well, that scene, that flash in her mind is from that scene, but that scene doesn't happen until afterwards.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Like, I think in that moment, you just assume like, oh, she just sees someone she cares about in Abby, and it's just like that, like, flash to reality of like, oh, wait, like, this is a person. Like, I should stop this. But I mean,
I didn't understand why she let her live until I saw that scene.
Right. I mean, yeah, it doesn't make sense until afterwards. But I think, I mean, I don't know where all you guys fall as far as like the end of this game, which I think is probably the most controversial part, I would say, because this is where I think it divides a lot of people, because I personally think the ending is bad. Like,
I think it, so. Yeah. So, I mean, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
But to me, like, when you get to the farm and it's like you got the baby around, you're doing the chores. And I was like, okay, like, she's going to get her happily ever after. You know, I'm going to piddle around down the farm and then we're, dance, credits roll, game over. And it was like, no. Okay. Now Tommy shows. Now someone shows up and I'm like, okay, this is either going to go one or two ways. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath, or it's just going to be someone with a message of some kind. Okay, it's Tommy. Now it's like, all right, I know where Abby is. Okay, here's another, line in the sand dividing of like, here's Ellie. After everything she's fucking gone through, she has her farm. She has her happily ever after. And it's like, are you really going to throw it away on this, first off, hunch? And just for some petty revenge after everything, and even after Dina pours her soul out to you, just basically being like, if you go, there ain't going to be a happily ever after waiting for you when you come back. And still, after everything, she still goes through it. And that was where I like put my foot down. I'm just like, I'm so done with this game. I think that it was a horrible decision that does not fit with everything, like, the whole theme of this game and everything, like, to still, after all of that, still go, yeah, let's go kill this bitch.
I disagree in that point, because that decision to go after her, it shows just how astray a single-minded revenge, a desire for revenge, can lead you. It's all-encompassing. And the fact that Ellie is still having the effects of PTSD when she's in the barn and she sees Joel and she has a panic attack, that is exactly what somebody going through PTSD experiences. And they believe that the only way that they can remedy that, those feelings, that feeling of overwhelming survivor's guilt, is to finish it.
And then
no matter what.
And then during finishing it, you get the flashback where you're taught forgiveness, and then you stop. Because that's what happened.
Well, not, I mean, even in the moments.
Didn't like the ending.
I think you could even rewind it literally moments before that where she has a knife to Lev's throat to, like, force Abby to fight her. It's like, okay, like, at that point, it's like you see, like, Abby is so, or Ellie is so blinded with, like, rage after everything you have gone through. Not to mention, like, the whole combat sequence leading up to that was such a fucking slog of just, like, you had to uncharted this game at the very end where you just, here's all the fucking enemies. Here's all of them.
SMG. Come on, Mike.
But still, like, I feel like, honestly, that took away from that whole sequence was just, like, the one more big, long, drawn-out combat sequence. Like, I would have much preferred that to been more cinematic at the end. It's like,
and not only that, but when Ellie hears that they have taken Abby into quote unquote their camp, and then she sees from afar the camp leaders leading a band of prisoners into the campground, she knows that the place that Abby is in is not going to end well for her.
It's a death. It's a death sentence.
And
for her,
yet,
more or less.
Instead of letting them take care of her, she decides that she has to be the one to pull the trigger, and that's what convinced me that is how the game was going to go. Like, I was like, okay, this is not something half-assed. She has to be the one to finish it. It's not good enough for her to let somebody else do it.
See, at that point, I honestly thought Ellie was going to die in that fight at the end, where it was just like her revenge was going to literally, I mean, she already gave up Dina and the baby, and now it was going to cost her life. I think, honestly, the game, it would have been a better ending if Ellie died.
I let Ellie die 3 times in the final encounter because I was so fed up with her. I'm like, you deserve this. And I let Abby kill her 3 times. I just put my controller down. I'm like, keep killing me. This is, I'm not doing any of this fucking quick time bullshit. I'm like, just fucking kill Ellie and get on a boat and go. Oh, I was so frustrated at that point.
I understand. I mean,
they could have gone so many. If I were going to finish this game, I was really hoping that, and this is, I guess, so here's my ideal finish for the game.
Okay.
Tommy visits the farm, gives her the info. Ellie packs a bag. She gets halfway through the yard. And then has the Joel on the porch flashback about forgiveness. And then she turns around and goes back inside. Hit the credits. You're done. I would have a great ending. But no. She kept going. No.
See, yeah, for me, it wouldn't have even made it that far. See, to me, I what I was hoping for was going to be like, all right, Tommy lays out the plans. And Ellie, like, you know, thinks long and hard about it and goes, you know what, Tommy? No. No more, like, it's fucking over. Like, look at us. Like, look at you, Tommy. Like, look at all. Like,
look at me with your good eye.
Yeah, exactly. Half of your face that's still there. Like, look at every, like, look at fucking Jesse. Like, Jesse's dead. Like, all the trail of blood that we have left. And we're still, like, willing to just keep going. It should have been like, yeah, because to a point, I did, like, appreciate when Tommy, like, was, like, so was pissed at her. It was just like, no. It's like, I understand, like, your fucking brother. Like, obviously, again, blinded with rage, you're not seeing, you know, what's more important now is the people that are still here, not the people that are gone.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, yeah, that was when I really disconnected. Like, I feel, the Abby switch was really clever, but too long. I think that was where I really felt the hours in that game really start to pile on in a way that I was just ready for, like you said, Jeremy, like a truncated 3 days leading up to that meeting would have been nicer. I don't think you would have lost much, like, I don't know, cutting half of those combat sequences out when you're playing as Abby, because, I mean, a combat sequence is a combat sequence. Don't fucking matter who you're playing as. Like, they're all the guns still shoot the same. And you're still hiding behind the half walls, like, just the same.
This is murder porn. You got to have all the violence you can pack in.
Yeah.
Nine hours is each character in a 2-hour ending. Cap it off at 20, you're good. Like, I 15 for each, and then that I mean 27 hours it was for me, and I'm just
I was
like
25 that, I was five and a half.
I think I did 26 when I looked at it.
Yeah, I was about the same as you guys.
Yeah, I mean shit, and unless you were playing it on like easy with the auto aim and just like bowling through every area not looking at anything, like I don't, you know, you probably couldn't even finish that game in under 15 hours more than likely. I mean, I understand because you kind of have to make the game accessible regardless of difficulty, because yeah, if you're playing it on easy, yeah, you definitely don't need to loot every nook and cranny, obviously, but if you're playing on super survival, whatever the shit, like, yeah, you're gonna need to get everything. But also, I will say, another of the many accessibility features I took advantage of, the item pinging.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very much. Beautiful. Loved it.
Saved so much time.
And I didn't even know that until after I beat the game, there was a fucking auto item grab that you didn't even have to fucking hit the button. That was another thing.
Oh, you kidding?
Wait, there is?
Yes. Oh, it's one of the accessibility items. You just walk over shit or near shit and it just grabs it for you. You don't even have to hit a button.
Oh. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really? I mean, I thought you were talking about the one where you didn't have to mash the triangle button like it was going out of style. You just held it down.
I do that in every game. If you're giving me the option to hold or mash, I'm hold. That will definitely.
I just saw that on like the tips thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, it is insane that there is only basically one loading screen for that game, and that's at the beginning.
Oh yeah, if we want to talk like technical, like it's as far as my experience, probably in the last at least probably 12 months, as far as like AAA games on a console, it's been murky at best. It's been a lot of fucking rough shit. Lots of games. I mean, other than like maybe Doom Eternal was probably like the only other game besides this that just didn't have like crazy frame rate or bugs or glitches. Like this game. Did not
rock solid
hitch once. No,
didn't crash tearing, at all.
No crashing. Nothing. I had literally like I had one bug, and it was literally I was in one of the boat sequences and I was up against the wall and I got out of the boat and like Ellie's like animation, like she jumped like 15 feet in the air and landed and it was fine. She didn't even take damage or anything. Like that's how nitpicky I had to get with the bugs to find anything. Like technically this game is flawless. So I can only imagine playing it on like a pro and shit was even better because it was beautiful on my 1080p standard PS4. Like the game was gorgeous.
Yep.
It's just top to bottom. Every single thing the game does from a technical and performance standpoint, it was perfect. And voice cast, work, perfect, everything. Just, the motion capture folks just killed it. Everything about this game from that standpoint is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Audio, visual, graphics. Like,
I just can't believe how level of difference between this game and almost every other game that I played this generation in terms of believability with the actors' animations, facial, whole body. I mean, just every single thing was, I can't imagine how those guys did not get through those motion capture sessions without just being covered in the little dots.
I mean, I don't even know what you would compare it to as far as like the realism of the people's movements and everything. Like it's definitely like up there. I'm struggling to even think of like what you could even compare it to. Even with like some realism, I'm sure like I don't know. Like I never played Death Stranding, so I don't know if
Death
that...
Stranding.
Even Death Stranding had some really questionable animations.
Yeah.
Moments like when she eats the bug, her mouth moves weird. But Death Stranding was really good, and I thought Control was also really good.
Yeah, but unfortunately for like as far as like a technical,
Control is a dumpster fire on consoles.
Yeah, in terms of overall performance, Control was bad. But cutscene direction, I thought the acting and Control was really good. The acting and Death
Stranding, it was
facial
cinematic.
Animations and everything. Those were probably, you know, my top two. Interchange the two until Last of Us 2. Everything about this game was just, I mean, you could see the work they put into it. Like it almost, you could feel the crunch yourself walking through these corridors and these buildings, and you just see the level of detail. Just
it went so far, like. to a point where it was just like, okay, not, like seriously, Naughty Dog, stop making games and just make movies.
Yeah.
Like, because it was almost like when I was playing, like when I'm playing Last of Us 2, because my wife is like all about the Naughty Dog games. Like, she sits right there next to me, has the fucking time of her life. And I'm like, she's probably getting more enjoyment out of this than I am, like having to do all these combat sequences and play the game. Like, she gets to sit back and just watch this as a fucking movie.
Very, very
and I'm
stressful.
Just like, and it's
have
just
her,
like,
have her play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That'll be something. But it's just like, to that point, it's like they shine so well on like the looks and the style and the writing. And it's just like, what, like the game parts of this, it's like, I honestly don't give a shit about, like,
it's
at
like
all.
We kind of talked about when they force you in these story gameplay moments where the forced walking as two characters are forced to walk a certain speed, or it's just deliberately no enemies in this weird gap of land where nobody just seems to be guarding, where two characters could have a conversation. And it's like, or you're looking for gasoline and you're running around for 15 minutes as the characters bullshit and look for gas. You're just like, just give me a 30-second cutscene, because at this point the cutscenes are so nice to watch and so detailed that I don't want to do a 20-minute gameplay sequence where I'm forced to meet your pace while you give me these story beats slowly over this time. Just give me a 2-minute cutscene where I get fed it by you.
They want you to find that obscure ledge to jump on that will lead you.
It happens to be yellow.
Yeah. It's got, like, yeah, sure, conveniently.
All next to it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, yeah, I'm so like, I mean, I've bitched about this so many times. It's just like, okay, if this sequence, if all I'm doing is literally holding up on the control stick, why the fuck do I even need to do that? Like, that should just be a cutscene. It doesn't even have to be like, you know, okay, it doesn't have to be FMB. It could be in-game cutscene, whatever. But like, what does me holding up on the left stick add to this moment?
You know what it is? I know what it is. Get your conspiracy theory hats on. Sony forces those into games so it wears down the left thumbstick on your controller.
Oh my god.
And you have to buy more controllers.
I mean, I have gone through a lot of controllers this generation, so
I think it's maybe like a it's a clever way of disguising a loading screen.
I mean, that could be it too, but at the same
point, that's there. God of War is filled with them.
Yeah, I mean, Last of Us 2 also had a lot of those, like, all right, let me squeeze through this long gap. Like, okay, I know what you guys are doing. It's clever. I mean, I get it. It's fine. You know, obviously for a game that had no actual load screens, I mean, yes, you're going to get very creative in how you mask those. But yeah, don't make me just stand, you know, follow this person around and not do anything. It's like, you can put the game on rails. It's fine. Like, it's okay. Like, putting the controller down once in a while is kind of nice. It's, you know, it lets me take it in more rather than just being constantly worried about a fight about to break out every second.
Do I have to start mashing square and triangle?
Yeah. You know, you can hold those, right?
Yeah.
One thing that I did get irritated with in terms of characters, they locked the exit behind them, even though they just killed everybody that was that way.
Better slam that shelving unit behind the door.
Yeah.
Just in case they get up and chase you.
Like, you just locked yourself in there with somebody.
Yeah, you don't know what's ahead of you. Come on.
Yeah.
Now you gotta move that bookshelf. Good luck.
I liked where the safe's hidden around, and you walk up to, oh, there's a safe here. Well, the combination is around the corner in the other room, and somebody just wrote, this is the combination of the safe, and they just stuck it on a post-it note on the bulletin board. Oh, there it is. Or some of the things were, oh, I'll buy you a bag of chips later if you get the chip or the safe combination, and you walk up to the vending machine, you break the glass, and there's the combination sitting right there.
I like the one where the anniversary date was the combination. We had to go over to the calendar and examine the calendar and then do some math.
Yeah.
I fucking loved every single one of those.
I like them too.
Just to the point I was like, man, like, could someone like make a game out of just this where I'm just like walking around trying to figure out clues to crack
safe
a safe? Like,
it's called The Witness.
There's a game there. I guess it's true, but not as difficult. Something like The Witness, but a little easier. I guess, well, not even Talos.
I gotta feel good about myself.
But yeah, that safe shit was awesome.
I heard you could crack them by listening to the clicks.
I did. Yeah.
Click noise is different for the correct number.
That's
you
true.
Scroll through the numbers, you get to the correct click, and that's your combination.
I did it by accident for one of them.
That's what I heard. I never tried it.
I did it for a while. I actually
just listened to the
because I was too lazy to Google it. So I just closed my eyes and just went through and did it.
Yeah, I did. I did not leave one safe unturned. That if that was like a thing where if we found a safe, we're like, stop everything. Until we crack this safe, we ain't doing shit. Not to mention it was a incredible like resource throughout the entire game. It's like a shit ton of upgrade material. But yeah, that shit was so much fun to do as a side thing. And I feel like unless I just missed a fuckload of them, like her journal stuff, like wasn't really a thing. Like, well, I think I only did that like four or five times.
If you took the time to read it, she actually does go into some pretty introspective detail about what she's going through in terms of conflict, like inner conflict.
She almost has
a monologue going throughout the game that she adds to it. A couple of the things are just she just adds a picture, but several points once you journal, several pages are added.
Oh, you know what? Maybe that's what it was. I wasn't seeing like they added an amount. I would usually just look at the pages right in front of me and be like, okay, she drew a giraffe and, you know, wrote some notes and like, okay, moving on.
Yeah, several times there were where you had to go back and flip pages back to see what was written.
It's a hell of a game. I mean, for better or worse, I definitely didn't. I said this to multiple people. I didn't hate it as much as the haters do. I certainly didn't love it as much as the lovers do. I land in that gray area in between of just.
I can see where people didn't like it. What I can't see is people just being ignorant about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there are people out there that hate it for, like, these weird sexist, like, reasons that just, like, okay, like, you're just an asshole. Like, I could understand, like, even for me, it's like, for someone who, you know, hate the last, I don't know how long that sequence is, like, once you take controls, add to what, two plus hours of the game where I'm just, like, literally, not literally, but, like, was just angry at the TV and be like, why am I, like, this should have been over. I shouldn't be doing this. This should be over. Why do I keep doing this? Like,
don't make me feel things.
Yeah, don't, this is not the ending that I wanted. Like, I don't, you know, and then just, yeah, being very, very angry at Ellie at the end. And then even, you know, thinking outside of the video, outside of the game itself is just like, I really hope there isn't a third with Ellie. Like,
I don't think there will be.
Please, please, please.
Do you want to hear my take on The Last of Us 3?
Please.
Not really.
Speculate.
Really good.
Let's hear a speculative.
All right, let's hear.
So, Last of Us 3 is going to start with Abby bleeding out in the boat, and Lev is going to come after Ellie.
Oh, another revenge story.
So while you also play as JJ the baby. You crawl around playing with toys and learning how to track down your cat.
So it's like Among the Sleep. Okay, got it.
So while Lev is just sharpening Shiv and setting landmines, because he knows. What did we land on, Lev?
His. He is a boy.
He's waiting for a baby to crawl over those landmines. But you find out.
Jesus Christ.
You know what you find out, though? This is the twist. Baby JJ inadvertently kills Lev's beloved cat. Lev finds out about it.
What's the cat's name?
Guess what?
Where was this cat?
The cat's name is Joel.
Last of Us 4 is now Lev chasing down baby JJ for killing his cat.
And then baby JJ grows up to make The Last Jedi.
Hire me.
The cat has kittens and they grow up to be in The Last Guardian 2. Coming out in 2024.
Oh,
yeah. Do a battle royale with all the kittens.
Yeah.
But you know, cats, tons of cats are going to be running around eventually.
Lev grows up to be the savior of the Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're definitely not going to get any additional content for this game because they've already said there will be no expansion a la Left Behind.
Multiplayer. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, there is some sort of multiplayer is going to happen. I would assume it's going to be very similar to one. I don't see them like varying way off the formula. But I mean, with how well, like, you want to talk about like wrapping up a series, like I think Uncharted 4 is definitely like one of the best. Like, if you were to ever close out a series, they fucking like nailed it. Obviously, with Last of Us 2, it's not nearly as happy-go-lucky of a world that they live in, so maybe this isn't going to be the bow that this series gets wrapped up with. However, with how well these two games have done, I find it really difficult to see them going, nah, we're not going to do a third one, especially since they're also doing a TV show as well. I feel like them, they like, I don't see.
Plus, I bet Naughty Dog is well into a new IP for the PS5.
I would, I mean, I honestly hope so. Like,
isn't Druckmann writing the TV show too?
He's involved?
I think he's an EP.
Amazing, but he's not
directing
yet. But I feel like this game's three parts. I
don't see it
after that. But I don't see this ending until Ellie is on an operating table by her own choice, sacrificing herself.
Oh man,
that's when I think this is, you know, tie a ribbon on it, it's done. That's when
she finds a male child that's immune, and they get to the hospital. Let's do this together.
Yeah, there could be some like, I mean, if they do it, you know, obviously, yeah, they're gonna make a third. I really hope it's not just, hey, let's pick up a couple years later as Ellie. Like, I, that world, there's so much going on. I mean, this stuff we always talked about years ago is like, well, if, you know, before this game was a thing, it was like, if they do a sequel, take us to a whole nother part of the world, take us to fucking Europe or Asia, you know, somewhere we can get a completely unique and different perspective of how like this has taken the world on. It's like, let's
look, well, Europe, right, is where,
and
I'm
and not so, not where we are currently in the timescape, but
yeah,
immediately after the outbreak,
or, well, or even that, like, yeah, let's get like the frantic hell that was those, yeah, initial months and years, like after outbreak day, like that was something we saw literal minutes of in this entire franchise, and that was,
yeah, it. And then you get to Boston. You get to Boston, and everybody's used to the ration cards and the military checkpoints, right, and all that. I want to see some carnage,
like yeah, where the
people that were not okay with this.
Yeah, like, yeah, protest. Yeah, sadly, somewhat analog of like what we see now with, you know, protests and, you know, riots and people in the streets. Like, yeah, that craziness, and just also I'm good on the Pacific Northwest, guys. Like, okay, I've got like two games worth of that shit. Like, take,
yeah.
World got fucked up too. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, you can go down to like Mexico and, you know, the Bahamas. I'm sure they got zombies and shit too. Some a change of scenery would be is you
yeah,
know.
We went to Santa Barbara. Welcome.
Yeah, for about 20 minutes. We went to one street, and
a very popular street.
Yeah, yeah. This one random street where. Yeah, she got bamboozled,
and then stabbed in the kidney.
Yeah, that was
one made me grimace.
That whole scene, like I was like going through my mind of like, please don't let this go where this looks like it's gonna go, and I'm just like, oh, thank God! Like,
what, you thought they were gonna kill her there? Like, she just dies.
That
up?
Or something horrible was going to happen to her, whether it be, you know, physically. And I was just like, I'm like, all right, this game has been gruesome enough. I don't need to see anything else horrible happen to anybody. Yeah, like, all right, if you're going to kill her, just kill her. But it's like, oh, thank God, they just kidnapped her. Thank God, I've never been so happy to have her just be taken away.
And then you get guys with helmets. The first, in the entire game, they're the only ones that thought to put on headgear.
who knew the bikers would be the smartest ones?
Yep.
I liked how they played with the fact that Ellie is immune, and they actually had her get bit by that clicker hanging upside down at the end.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
The prisoners out there, like, get away from her, she's bit, or kill her, she's bit. And they just sort of let her go on to Abby. But that's one thing you don't ever really see in the series at all, is, you know, she's immune, but they never really, at least I don't remember them ever really touching on that at all. That she
well,
gets
when
attacked.
When she and Joel go into looking for guitar strings, Joel says to her, put your mask on, and Ellie's like, ugh,
yeah,
why,
right,
Dad?
Right.
I mean, it makes sense, like, if anyone were to ever, like, you know, obviously she'd have that target on her back forever.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is, you know, someone somewhere thinking, like, oh, I could ransom this girl for, whatever, because she is like the key to immunity. So it does make sense, and something that you couldn't obviously go around telling people is like, oh, by the way, I'm immune. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess that would make sense that she'd have to like disfigure the fuck out of her arm and to like cover that up. Like, oh yeah, that makes sense why she did that, and then got a bunch of tattoos over it. Like, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Imagine not being able to wear short sleeve shirts.
A bummer. Maybe that's why she's in the Northwest.
Yeah,
they wear long sleeve shirts all year.
Moved up there, for the weather.
I'll tell you what, for the longest time, every time they said Jackson, I kept thinking, they're in Mississippi?
So did I. Yeah, so. Definitely. I wish there would have been a little more time spent there. Like, just kind of seeing what the day-to-day was like there. I feel like they really just got you out of that town quickly to never return.
Yeah.
For as much as they drawn out things in that game, I feel like that part could have been drawn out a little bit more.
And, like, there's still no internet? Still?
Somebody's got to turn a server on somewhere.
I mean, they got power on in the city. They're working there. I mean, it's been, let's see what. It was five years between the first and the second game. The first game was how many years after the outbreak? Like
25 years!
Was it that long? Was it that long? Shit.
Yes!
Okay. Damn. All right. Yeah. 30 years. They had to find someone that knows how to do internet. But I don't know. Then again, that game leads you to believe that Joel killed the last doctor on the planet. So I don't know. There might not be any more tech support guys left out there.
That's fair. Good point.
I think the worry is 4G probably caused the outbreak. So they're
just oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. A very good point.
Well played, Naughty Dog.
Jeez. Well, anyone have any other comments, grievances, thoughts they want to put out there to the world about this game?
Not really.
No, I think we've said enough.
Do you want anyone want to like give it like a number? Do you want to give it a grade, a number of some kind?
I give it an A-.
A-. Okay. Well, I like the letter grades, so that's better than numbers. Okay, pass. Come back to me. If someone else has a grade, they can give it.
Solid A.
Ben?
A- as well. I like,
like a heel.
I'm going to go. Because like I said, it does everything perfect. I was not a fan of the late game character development.
All right, that's fair. That's very fair.
Yeah. I guess I'm going to be a little more harsh, even though still... I'm gonna go a B.
You son of a bitch.
I know.
You know,
I didn't give this game a 10 out of 10. I'm like the worst human Cancel imaginable. Mike. Yeah.
Well, at least exactly. Nobody here gave it a G for god awful because women.
Or you're like, oh, it fell. Yeah, okay. The game can fall apart at the end, and still, if the first, 80% is good, I'm not gonna absolutely rip the game apart. Yeah, the game was too long. Like, I honestly felt like you probably could have wrapped that up in under 20 hours.
I think so too. I was not expecting the last segment with Ellie. Like, I was like,
yeah,
there's more.
They pulled that fake ending shit like four or five times over. I was just like, all right, we're done. No,
But that being said, I would have been livid if they had ended it on a cliffhanger.
That's true, but in my mind, once we got to the barn, I was just like, all right, they went their separate ways. Abby's doing her thing, and Ellie's living her life.
I had my hands under my desk, ready to flip it if Ellie had gone off after Abby, and that was made by Naughty Dog.
Oh, that would have been fucked. That probably was worse than any ending they could have come up with. If they would have cliffhangered it, okay. I take that back. That's probably the worst possible ending they could have done for that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I had my hands under my desk.
I would agree with that. That would have been absolutely awful. So
I swear to you, hand to God, I was on my feet, ready to yell at my screen if they had done that.
Or she gets ready to go and the credits start rolling and then they cut back to the cutscene and then she just stops and turns on. She's like, nah. And then the credits start rolling again.
But that's even like somewhat,
But that's still not a cliffhanger. That's a definitive ending.
Yeah.
Or yeah, so like
throwing you off.
Or just like she leaves and then they just like post credits. They just cut to a scene where she shows up Abby face to face and then fade to black. Done. That's how we piss off everybody. Yeah, but yeah,
I'm just glad, regardless of what it is, I was infinitely more happy with closure. There being some closure.
Yeah. For not being happy with the closure, I'm happy there was some. I feel that, you know, cliffhangers are very like overused, especially like in television just abuses the fuck out of the cliffhanger, like to the point where it loses its luster a lot of times, especially then when you're talking about video games where it's not just, you know, a year.
Yeah.
You're talking about like 5-6 years between, you know, games. So it's not like this is something that would have been resolved anytime soon. At the same length, I feel like this ending was vague enough to where they could shoehorn in a third game with her instead of them. If they'd done the happily ever after ending, I think it would have been a little more difficult to swing it back around to, you know, Ellie for a third game if she would have just seen her living her life on the farm without doing something drastic, having some, you know, horrifying beginning to where you see, you know, zombies rush the farm and kill them. But
well, she only has 3 fingers left, so Last of Us 3 confirmed.
Yeah, I guess there certainly won't be any guitar playing in the, you know, in the third game. I guess we didn't really talk about that. I could have done without the guitar shit, honestly.
Did you see Mark Hoppus play Damn It and mess it
up? That was cool. It was cool seeing people be very creative with that on the internet, but at the same time, it was just like, this didn't really add much to the game for me. I liked when she played it on her own. It was very cool, but making me do it, that was weird and unnecessary. I wouldn't say bad, just unnecessary for me personally. But yeah, so we gave it an A minus, and a B. I'd say overall it's an
average of an A minus.
Yeah, an A minus average here, and definitely, I'd say. I mean, shit, with how few games have come out in 2020, probably going to be on, my top 10 as well as a lot of people's. I mean, at this point, hell, I think I've only played like 4 games that came out this year and I didn't like, this was one of the two that I somewhat enjoyed. So by default, it makes it on the list.
There we go.
Okay. So yeah, let's close out on that. So is it anyone's current game of the year?
Considering I've only played a couple of games.
So that's a yes. Ben,
it's my game of
Ben's
the year.
Yes.
Sure.
Ash is
right now,
yes.
It is my game of the year.
Yeah, I would say yes. It's my game of the year.
So, all right, 3 yeses, and you guys should play. You guys aren't going to take 7 Remake over Last of Us 2?
Absolutely not.
No.
I enjoyed that game a lot more than the other people did, but nah, I don't think it beats Last of Us 2.
That's fair. And
I mean, I like my time in 7 Remake. It's just not on the same level.
You know what? I take that back. Persona 5 Royal is my game of the year so far.
That's cheating, but I'll allow it.
All right, if we're talking about new games, yes, by far, Last of Us 2.
It's either Last of Us 2 or Man Eater. I'm not sure.
I'd say for me, it would have to be like Last of Us 2 or SnowRunner. SnowRunner's really good, guys.
Warzone.
We've got 4 hours and 57 minutes until Ghost comes out. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, we're on the doorstep of Tsushima and Cyberpunk.
Let's see what Sucker Punch has done in the last 7 years.
Yeah, hopefully they do better than, you know, Days Gone and Sony Bend.
Days Gone. Don't even start with me with that game.
Oh, that's conversation for another day. As far as games that sucked. But yes, thank you all for joining in on the Last of Us 2 spoiler cast. We will be back to regular episodes next week. Thank you everyone for listening. Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
Find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
Ash, where can they find you on the internet?
On Twitch and Twitter at PavlovianGW.
Jeremy, where can they find you on the internet?
No Twitch, just Twitter, at SalPal23.
And you can find me on Twitter at Just Survive, on Twitch at The Just Survive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWM Pod. You can also go to our website at NWMPod.com, which we have links to all of our contact information, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, on Spotify, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always say go and leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
See ya.
Later.
Bye.